Hi, hi. Thank you very much. Now, So my name's Sophie Scott, and I'm a cognitive neuroscientist from University College London. And, it's very hard to say this without sounding like you're, I don't know, the undead, but I like brains, and I work with brains. And I'm very lucky because I get to use a technique called functional magnetic resonance imaging to look at the brains. And this is essentially a technique that lets us look both at the structure of brains and look at the brains working. And it's actually reliant on principles and issues from quantum physics. And it's all around how protons in magnetic fields behave in certain ways. Now, luckily, protons in hydrogen are particularly good at looking at it in this way. And turns out we're really hydrogen-y. There's lots of that in us, particularly in our brains. So what you do is you put the tissue into a magnetic field, and that's your brain, and the protons, they're spinning anyway, they're spinning to start with. When you put them in a magnetic field, they all start to spin, precess, in phase. Don't worry about this. It sounds a bit scary, but it's not scary. So they're all precessing in phase. Now, that is actually magnetising your brain. Again, sounds a bit scary. Don't worry, it's not. Then what you do is you take a radio frequency pulse and you ping that in, boop, and it makes all the precessions dip forward and come back again like that, wobble forward, wobble back. Sounds scary. It really isn't scary. And because you change the magnetic field when you do this by this sort of angle of the magnetization of the brain, you're able to pick this up by changes in the way that a current is induced in a coil going around the outside of your head. Sounds scary, really not scary. Now, if you've heard of radio frequency pulses before, it's because they're what happened in your microwave oven to cook your food. Now, that sounds a bit scary, and it's not, well, actually, no, it is really, really scary, and we're all over that shit. Seriously, we don't cook you. We do not cook you. It's rule number one. There are hot spots. Stirring gets rid of them. And what this lets you do is get an image of the brain, because different hydrogen molecules move, realign back at different rates depending on the tissue that they're in. So you can discriminate between fat and water and that sort of thing. So we can get great pictures of the brain, and we can also use this to get at functional images of the brain, which is amazingly useful. And somebody had the brilliant idea when people started doing this sort of 15 years ago, that instead of presenting the data in tables or charts, we show the data as glowing hot spots on the brain. Look at that. That must be really meaningful. It's orange. And this has really caught on. You now routinely find this in news reports and sort of popular media. The brain images will be used to describe and discuss results. Have anybody seen the movie of the female orgasm shown in fMRI that's been sort of going the rounds over the past week?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a guy in the US who's been... he's almost over-interested in female orgasm. Every year I go to that conference, and every year he's there going, the female orgasm, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, right. Had the paper? A result? Anyway, I've been picky. But they did make some strange claims about it. So, for example, that one of the authors said that nothing short of an epileptic fit activates the brain as much as the female orgasm. You know that epilepsy is bad, don't you? I don't know where you're going with that. It's going to sound picky, but they did not scan epileptic women having fits and then having orgasms. They don't know about that. That's a claim. They haven't tested it. And the other thing that worries me slightly about this, and I do functional imaging a lot, and I'm worried because they're looking at all these brain changes in this lovely movie, and they ascribe it all to the orgasm. And these women were self-stimulating in there, because I suppose if you think about it, having a lab technician in there helped. No, it's worse. Definitely worse. But all the brain activation that you're seeing is the orgasm is going to be in there, but you know the control of the manual stimulation to get to orgasm is also going to be in there. So don't they need a control condition where those women manually stimulate another woman to orgasm? No, it's just not going to work. It's going to be worse. It's worse than the lab technician. I should stick to language, shouldn't I? I'm not good at this. I do quite enjoy the language that's been used around this study, though. So people talk about, the crescendo of activation, the symphony of activation, or brain areas come alive during this that are never normally alive. They lie there inert until those women have orgasms. And the authors are saying they're going to start looking at those elusive male orgasms, and I'm interested to see if that sort of moist-eyed tone remains in the narrative around that particular story. Now, you'll have noticed that I'm talking about magnetic resonance imaging, and of course there's an enormous magnet involved in this. We can't just do this with the horseshoe things. You need these massive